challenges, trials, whatever you call them, every single one of us has had to overcome something in our lives. Be that a physical disadvantage, a financial setback, a business complication, an emotional hurdle, or spiritual snag. Join Heather and her inspiring co-authors as she delves into the topic of overcoming the odds to create successful businesses, relationships, and lives. Now, here is your host, Heather Andrews.
Thank you for joining our show, everyone. Today, we have Todd Boyum, who is a high-performance coach, and he's going to talk about and give us some guidance on how to create success in all areas of our life. Thank you, Todd, for joining us today. We're so excited.
I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how maybe you got into the high performance coaching and why it's sort of like a mission of yours today.
Well, you know, I have just all of my life loved helping people, serving people. And over the course of time, I begin to gravitate more towards coaching rather than things like counseling and mentoring and other things, because I saw that it was more future oriented. It was more positive oriented. It was more about optimizing life. And I really liked helping people with that. And it was more helpful because it was focused on the user than, say, mentoring, which sometimes kind of gets caught up in focus with you know, the knowledge that we have, consulting, things like that. So about 10 years ago, I took a professional course in coaching. And a couple of years ago, I really found the high-performance coaching modality that I'm trained in now. And that really brought together not only using that coaching modality, but my longtime passion in personal development in such a powerful way that I just immediately said, hey, this is going to be a great program that will really help me serve people better in their attempts and their efforts to, you know, really reach high performance, really attain to the goals that they want to attain to in life. And so I got very focused on it and have been using it to help people. And it's wonderful. I love it.
Perfect. And I know that you just retired from your corporate role, and I know that you spent many years in that space. What was sort of that pivotal shift for you that made you kind of go, hey, there's more than this. How do I go find it?
It's true. I think part of the shift was, you know, I had been in corporate America for 31 years, and I did wonderful things there. I loved the company I worked for. I loved the work that I did. But number one, I could only impact people in the context of that work. And I had other people I wanted to help and work with. And so that was definitely part of it. But then I myself, it's kind of funny, even though I had taken a professional coaching course 10 years ago, I had never really hired a coach. And so I did. I hired a coach a couple of years ago and started working with them as I was thinking about making the shift. And it really helped me move forward a lot faster in my own goals. I really got to see the power of it, you know, coming towards me. And it just helped me realize that I needed to quit, you know, taking forever to get to that, and that I could actually make that jump faster and actually go and impact the people I want to impact. And so it was just really helpful. And that's the reason why, I mean, what a coach does is they really fight for you. You know, they really push you. And I needed that push myself. And now I'm trying to give that push to other people.
And what exactly is the definition of high performance? Because I think some of our listeners will be like, okay, I don't want to be an athlete. So what does that mean from a mindset perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, high performance, you know, is operating beyond standard norms. It's above average, right? And so when you're operating above standard norms, you're being high performance. But if you're not doing that consistently, you're not necessarily a high performer. You just had a spike, right? So it's really operating beyond standard norms consistently over the long haul. And here's the real kicker: without sacrificing your wellness or your relationships. Because, you know, we all know people who, you know, they achieved something, but they destroyed their marriage or they destroyed their health. And then that's not really high performance. When we're working with people in high performance, we're working with them in an integrated way, in a holistic way, in which case all of their life rises to high performance and is able to consistently stay in that mode. And so they're actually increasing their relationships, they're actually increasing their health, and they're actually achieving the things they want to achieve, and not just for success, but actually really trying to drive them to impact and significance as well. And so that's really where high performance, you know, reaches its highest layer.
And in your coaching practice, what types of methodologies do you teach? So you talk about the, you know, all aspects of the life and better relationships and when one thing's kind of going better, something else is going better. So what are some of those methodologies that you teach to help your clients into that space of higher performance? And it's an evolvement process, absolutely. And it takes time to increase those habits. So what does that look like? If I was to say, hey, Todd, you know, how I would love to coach with you, what kind of journey would you take me on?
So first off, there's what's great about this particular modality is that it is based on scientific research. And there's actually six major habits, only six, that highly correlate to high performers. And basically those are to be able to seek clarity, to really know, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, to be able to manage your energy, because that's what enables us all to do anything. We have to have our energy. To be able to personally raise necessity. And this is the autonomy and intentionality that enables us to guide our lives. And believe it or not, a lot of people really don't direct their lives. They just kind of take it as it comes. So being able to raise your own necessity is an important habit. And then courage, right? Things that are, you know, you have to be courageous to go after the life that you want. And it's actually one of the top skills. Also, of course, just productivity habits themselves, of course. And then the last one is, how do you gain better influence with people? And so those six habits, and then the skills behind them are what we really work with people on, is really tweaking those six habits and those skills to, in a way that's actually connecting to the goals that they're actually trying to achieve, the work they're actually trying to achieve in the world. And when you put that kind of focus, instead of working on all kinds of other things, but you focus on those six things, it really drives you faster in those areas of your life. And again, handling it in an integrated way. Like when we're talking about your goals, we're not just talking about your career goals. We're trying to talk about your holistic integrated life.
And within that holistic integrated life, your faith is a big part of that. And so how has that, you know, having that faith and that belief, how has that also moved you forward in this life that you are achieving now?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's great about the high performance frame is there's a lot of faith already built into it. And one of the areas that I'm augmenting with it is to take that further. You know, if you think about clarity, you really can't get clarity in what you want in the future without faith, right? It really takes faith to believe in this thing you're going to go put together. And it takes faith to really activate energy. It literally comes to us, you know, from things bigger than ourselves, from God and from our relationship with Him. And so while I can work with people who just want to say, hey, let's focus, I don't believe in all of that stuff, that's great, but it doesn't make it not true, right? And but also when I'm working with people who have a stronger faith, then we activate that element in their habits more. The two really go together. What we believe in and what we believe about ourselves and others and God really activate all of these habits of us making performance. And so what I find is when I grew up, those two elements of my life where I was pursuing personal development and where I found my faith kind of intersected at the same point. And for me, they've just always been integrated. But for a lot of people, they're very disintegrated. You know, they have their faith in one bucket, and they have what they do in their work in another bucket, and they don't let the two come together. And even a lot of, you know, ministries and things will be like, you know, work-life ministries, but that creates a very segregated model and a very disintegrated model. And the reality is we're the same person, right? It's the same person that's working with family as it is that's working with work. It's the same person going to church that is, you know, going out into the workforce. And so unless you're really looking at how those various aspects of your psyche come together, you're not really being your most authentic self, and you can't actually achieve, you know, what you were really designed and put here for on the earth. And so so for me, that's a big focus, especially with groups of people that want to work and really gain even more impact, is to bring faith into also the performance conversation.
And when you move through like a shift like that, a lot of times the people who were in our life, like the corporate, you know, our friends, our family and things like that, were they supportive of this, you know, this new role for you in your life?
You know, that's a great question. And for some people, yes, you know, there was a lot of support, but for some people, there's support, but it was hard for them, right? And I like to say that people, when you're leaving something, sometimes people are frustrated with you, and a lot of people will be upset that they're not getting the support that they want. But really what's going on is that people care about you, and they kind of have some grief going on in them, right? Because there's some separation anxiety here that's going on. And so just to know that and to realize that, you know, as you go off to go do your dreams, there's a lot of emotions that are going on with your friends and others. But you also have to realize that you need to take people on your journey. And so for me, I knew I was leaving corporate America, and I knew that my tribe would not be following me into this. And so I was very intentional. And this is, again, what can happen when you're working with a coach. You can be very intentional about, you know, hey, I need to build new tribe for my new life even before I get there. But also I need to finish well with this group of people that I've loved and worked with for all these other years. And I need to kind of help them go through that journey of me departing. And so I was able to leave and have none of our work drop. I was able to set up, you know, some of the key people that worked for me into really good positions. And I was able to really exit and walk away and not worry one bit about whether or not, you know, all of this great work that I had created, because I was kind of the genesis of it, whether that was going to continue well or not, because I left, you know, solid people who really understood it and loved it and would continue that work. But all of that took intentionality. And this is the kind of work you can have and the kind of impact you can have when you're working on these habits, right? The clarity to create that kind of intentionality.
I know that the coaching world is literally exploding with coaches. And I've had 9 coaches in my own entrepreneurial journey, but I had mentors before that. And I think that when we talk about a mentor or a coach, people say, oh, I'm good, I don't need that. But it's an interesting phenomenon to me, because even yesterday, for instance, I've hired a business manager for my company, but she's also like she's one of my coaches and mentors. And I hired her for that, because when we are going through huge transition, and when we are going and we're creating something different, you need that person that's going to be a cheerleader, going to kick you in the butt, going to ground you, and is going to say, hey, take a look at this. And so when we talk about, you know, even your own journey, what has that coaching mentor cycle looked like for you? Did you work with one person and went, hey, oh, I want to do this? Or was there specific things that you walked through and you hired the person that you needed at that time when you were going through?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think I think that's a great thing to think about. For me, first, you know, I worked with some people that were trained in the same modality, certified high performance coaching. And I spent basically a year, a little over a year actually, working with them. And it was a fantastic experience. And it was perfect for that moment in time, because I was really retooling my entire life, right? But now what's happened is, even though I would love to continue to work with that person, I've actually made that shift. And now I'm finding I need to work with very specific coaches. And so even, you know, I recently started working with a new coach, and she's actually also trained in certified high performance coaching, but some other modalities. But she's also very specifically helping me with key things that I need to move forward in to get my business to the level that I want. But I'm at the same time working with a different coach who is helping me work through some future development of products that I want to offer in the future. And so I'm literally working with two different coaches on two different very specific aspects that are the areas I need to focus on now. So sometimes we're retooling everything, and it's really great to look at it holistically. And it's not that the high performance isn't taken. In fact, again, my coach is trained in that as well. But now we're really dialing into some more specific things that are part of the journey.
What are some of the biggest things that have, by you embracing high performance in your own life, what's changed the most for you?
Sure. You know, that's a really great question. I think there's a lot in this journey. Even before I started working with my coach, I was working with a nutritionist as a coach on some health things 3-4 years ago. And that began taking me on a health journey that is continuing today. And this has taken a long time. I'm learning to sleep better. I'm learning to eat better. I'm actually, you know, working out. And for me, in my past, I've always sort of been healthy, but I was really not big into working out. So I just didn't have these practices. And one of the things that happened when I was working with my first coach is I started realizing that I had always been telling myself that, you know, oh, that's just not me, you know, all this health stuff. And then I realized, like, no, I'm actually always been healthy. It's just that I haven't built a practice around it. And so that was a transforming, you know, getting past that limiting belief. And it's enabled me to really enjoy my journey to you know, better health and increased vitality that is continuing on. And so that was definitely one of them. And then the other major thing, which happens in my story in the book, is that I started with thinking that my success was caught up in my achievements. And because of the obstacle I went through and the challenges I went through, you know, God really revealed to me that, you know, my confidence can be in me personally and not in the achievements and things that I did. And that was a massive transformation. It's what Brendan talks about when he says integrate success. I was able to integrate my success and see myself at a whole different level that was really more about who I am as a person than just all the things that I did in my career. And that's been a super empowering shift in my mindset that came as we were doing that coaching work.
Just to rewind real quick, you mentioned your book. So I know that you recently published in a co-authored book. So just give us a little bit of insight as to what, because when people want to share their story, a lot of times is what happens is they don't feel their story is worthy or good enough or, you know, this or that. And as a publisher, of course, because I published the book, a lot of the phenomenon that happens is people don't necessarily, there's fear, like judgment, fear around what people are going to think. So when you stepped into that decision to write in Obstacles Equal Opportunity Volume 2 with 13 other people, What was that driving force that made you go into that space?
You know, it's so interesting you say that. I've always wanted to write a book, and I had plans to do that, but I was busy, you know, leaving my corporate gig, wrapping that up. I was busy getting my new business started, and I was just telling myself, well, that's just going to have to wait. And then, you know, a friend of ours mutually told me about this ability. And so it's like, well, this is amazing. I can, and this is a high performance tip, is right, find a way to take a step, right? And so I was like, well, hey, I can handle writing a chapter, especially if I'm getting to work with a team. And then I can actually learn about, you know, writing a book. I can become a published author. I can actually do my first book now rather than a year and a half from now. And I can take that first step and learn a lot at the same time that I'm doing all of this other work. And so that was the first thing. And then you're right, there is a little fear. And especially when I decided to make my story, the actual story I was actually living at the time. Because, you know, again, I've worked with all these people, and what are they going to think about my story? And how do I say that in a way that's honoring too? Because, you know, I love my company. I love my work. And even though there's a complexity I talk about in a particular person, even they were really, in a way, very helpful to me, because they were a catalyst that enabled me to go faster and to decrease faster. Because it's so hard to unravel yourself when your heart is really in something. And so, you know, I talk about it like God gave me this catalyst to decrease faster and to move faster into what he was bringing for me. And so that's really how I looked at it. And so I think that was an honorable way to write it, but at the same time express the challenge that was going through. But it was a little scary, because you're just like, what are people going to think about this? But I think that's where it's great to be courageous and get your story out there, and to realize that, you know, other people need to hear that story.
And that's one of the things, I mean, my own life changed when I did something very similar. I was in my job, and I had an opportunity by meeting one person. She said, hey, come along and do this book with us. And I was like, okay. And at that point, it was a book about the true facts about being in business. And I'd had a business when, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, that was very successful. And then when I went back to work full time, because I was given a great opportunity, I shut down my company, as did the owner of the company. So it was kind of like a double, you know, double whammy. So I went back to work full time, because all my kids were in school and things like that. But it's an interesting space when somebody comes and says, hey, you know, there's this opportunity. And, you know, I wrote in this book, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is like, so I can actually write A, B, somebody's there to edit it. And then I got to meet several new other Canadians and Americans that put me into a totally new network in multiple places. And by you doing all the interviews that you did for our book, I mean, everybody got to know each other a little bit better. And it was just such a powerful space. And so by learning that I could write, B, I got to meet all these great people. It was like, it really was a life-changing alternative for me. And then when it went bestseller on Amazon, it was like, say what? No. And everybody's like, so what are you going to do with this? And I'm like, I don't really know. you know, and so how, but you just, but the most unsuspecting things happen when you take one step. And I think the stories are sort of aligned, because, you know, you took the step into being an author and sharing your story, and you kind of overcame the piece of, oh, wow, you know, people are watching this. But half the time most of the time, people are like, good on you for doing this. Because it takes courage, and people want to be courageous, but sometimes they just don't know how.
It's been very interesting to see how many people have shown up and just felt empowered just because I did it, much less the story. And so that's really true. And then the point you made, you know, again, I was working to build a tribe, if you would, in my new world. And there's, you know, by doing the book, I expanded that even more, because we worked with all these authors, and I really intentionally took that on when you offered, said, hey, maybe a couple of you guys should interview each other. And I was like, no, I'm going to interview everybody if I can, because I want to build that tribe. I want to build this new community. And I think that that's the other thing that was really important to me as I went through the journey was not to just reinvent my world. So even though I'm a high performer and I'm aggressive and I want to go do great things in the world, I didn't want to live in the world the way it was when I was in my corporate gig, where, you know, things just were scattered all the time because there's just so, you know, everybody's just putting meetings on top of other meetings. And I really want to be able to take time to be more present with people when I was meeting with them and not be thinking about the next thing. And so that was another item, was to talk about how can Cheryl and I, my wife, do this together, and how can we do this not the way it was, you know, in my corporate gig, but in the way we want it to be. And so I think all of those things, writing the book actually kind of helped us think through some of those things even more.
Mm-hmm. And it is, it's a very powerful thing. It really is. And when you decide to do something and go all in, it's amazing the opportunities that come and the lessons, of course. I've had lots of lessons. I always think of myself as a high performer, high achiever, and the two are very different. They just are. And it's interesting to me, because high achieving is achieving the things that you want to achieve, but it's almost like you need to be a high performer to be a high achiever. And it's encompassing all aspects. As I've learned, it's health, it's wealth, it's relationships, it's who's in your circle, it's the energy that flows in your circle too. And I've had many people come into my circle, and if my stomach goes, a red flag is raised, or I tell you, I'm so protective of my space like I've never been, because and you really do need the people who you're going to grow with. And it's key. Like, it's so key. And so when you talk about the high performance, it's the productivity piece, but it's that relationship piece is probably the most important part. And it's the relationship to self, and it's the relationship to others around you.
And all those habits, you know, some of them are more internal, and some of them are more social, like, you know, the courage and the influence aspect of things. And so it's about, you know, having both your internal clarity about what you want to accomplish and who you want to be, but also how you want to be with others, because in reality, we never accomplish anything on our own, right? And so if we're really going to make an impact in the world, it is about finding the right people to take that journey with you and bringing the right energy to that group, and making sure that that group is the group that's bringing right energy to you too. And that's one of the things that, you know, in our world, I get to cultivate, because, you know, when I was in corporate America, I had to work with what I had, but here I can say, no, I'm not going to, you know, deal with people who won't bring the right kind of energy to the table.
It's a powerful space. And I can see where, just watching my own journey grow by writing in this book, I met the publisher, and the publisher mentored me. And then I published my own Obstacles Equal Opportunity Volume 1 based on my own experience, because I wanted to help inspire others, because our city had been through a huge downturn in an economy and people were out of work. And my story is very similar to that. And I knew that I had gone through a huge transition in that space in that time. And I really wanted to help others know that there is a legitimate process to this. Like, job loss is a legitimate process. There is a grieving period, and you can come out the other side, and here's some coping mechanisms for you and things that worked for me. But it wasn't until I actually published this, like in my second, like my first book, that things really shifted for me. And then it took me about 3 months to really go, okay, this is what it's going to be. And it was Dr. Erin Oxall, who is our mutual friend. And she said, you're going to have a publishing agency. You're just going to have this publishing agency. That's what I see for you. And I'm like, okay. and then it just grew. She is, absolutely. But it was, it was us meeting in this Facebook group and moving through the obstacles equal opportunity together, that we conquered a fear together, that because both of us were, even though I was doing this book, it didn't mean that I wasn't scared about this, because this was the first thing for me. It could have completely blown up, but it didn't. It went phenomenally well. But it was just that space of, okay, I know what I'm supposed to go do. And when I leaned into that, that's when the seeds and the reapings and the cultivation and all of that really came to fruition. And so, but I also see all these people coming now, and really everybody's connected. And it is so powerful when I look at this and I see how everybody's coming together in not only in story, but in business, and people are joining businesses and creating these collaborative things together. Like it's huge.
I so love that, Heather, because I just want to tell you, and I just want to applaud you, because, you know, people don't think this way, but the reality is you're creating culture. And, you know, we're in a world where, you know, there's so many, negative things going on, so many things that are, the culture that's being created is not good culture. And the reality is the only way to, you know, overcome negative or bad culture is to create more culture. And you're creating that, and you're even aware of it. Like, you're like, hey, well, there's this downturn in my environment, and so I'm going to be the light in the middle of that. And so you've created a whole set of new culture. And that's really part of where my heart is, because I really want to work with entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs who are trying to create, you know, restorative culture, culture that is actually going to improve the world, and not just make the money, which is great, but really is more about their impact and really making the world a better place. And so I just applaud you for making the world a better place.
Oh, thank you. Well, I couldn't do it without you and all of the people who have joined and shared their stories and all of those powerful things. And Todd, I just can't thank you enough for just coming on and just being you today and sharing your story and your journey. And because you really have taken a different perspective on for our listeners. So I just want to just say, I'm just so grateful for you and what you're doing in this world, and that you're a part of my world and coming on today and just sharing
your story. Well, thank you, Heather. I've enjoyed it too, and enjoyed working with you and Aaron and all of our co-authors. Thank you so much for helping me take that step faster. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Excellent. And I thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. And once again, I am Heather Andrews, helping you reach your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, and resiliency for better relationships. And go out and live your high performance life.
Now that Heather and her guest have shared a little bit about how they have overcome some of life's obstacles and how they went on to create success in their life despite these obstacles, you can read more by getting your own copy of Obstacles Equal Opportunities Volume 1 or Volume 2 by going to the Follow It Through Publishing website at www.followitthroughpublishing.com. Spelled FOLLOWITTHROPUBLISHING.com. Have a story to share? If you are interested in becoming part of a book compilation, please contact Heather by going to www.followitthroughpublishing.com and clicking Contact. You will be amazed at what kind of story you can produce with the help from an incredible team. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit the Tenacious Living Network at tlrstation.com.